I am going to, I am now Coach Mike Bourbon. I am a women's volleyball coach of the seventh grade, and I take that attitude to everywhere I go. Shower up, ladies. Hydrate. Spike that shit. Not the drink, no. Oh,
okay. I was like, what?
You know, the number one most given seventh grade volleyball command. Spike that shit.
Hello and welcome to
FWAR.
I think we said we were going to try to harmonize last week.
Are we doing step by step or all at the same time?
What do you think?
I think you need to spell it out.
Look at the reaction.
I want to lay down the first note. I want to lay down the first note.
Okay. Hello and welcome to
FWAR.
James.
James, come on.
Come on, pitch in.
We're recording.
Try again, Michael.
All right.
Hello and welcome to
James, that's you.
We can't do this with only three notes.
Oh, wait, I forgot. James isn't here.
He's dead.
At the table right now. He's not here.
It's funny how he has so little life to him that it took us this long to realize he's not here.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that surprising, I guess.
He strikes me as a dead guy.
But we're going to power through and declare Steven the winner of this week's challenge.
Great podcast.
Wait, so we're
next
done with
week,
the podcast?
This is the movie we're going to watch? No.
We might as well.
Sweet.
What's the point?
I mean, if we can't hear what James has to say.
Maybe we should call him, guys. Maybe we should give him a call.
Yeah? He's not going to answer. We're basically just going to end up airing what his voicemail message sounds
like. Here, let's hear what his voicemail sounds like.
All right. Should we do intros? Answer. Should we do intros while you get him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. I'm Ryan.
I'm Steven.
I'm Michael.
And this coming up is whatever happens on this phone, that's James.
Well, he's just going to say hello. And that can we make it a prank call? I mean, I know he knows it's you because caller ID, but
shh, it's ringing. Ask him if his refrigerator's running. No, ask him if his nose is running. Okay. Maybe he's sick.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'll use that for sure. And if he says no, be like, well, then you don't need to catch it.
Hi, James, you're on From Under a Rock.
I am?
Yeah, you are.
Huh, what a surprise.
Are you ready to answer a trivia question for a chance to win a movie pick?
I would absolutely be okay with answering some trivia questions.
Can
my friend help me out here?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, it's
no, 100% no.
Okay.
I mean, if you somehow fool me into thinking that you didn't use your friend, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you 100% no.
Okay, well, I will keep that in mind then.
All right, are you ready for your trivia question and the chance to win one movie pick?
I most certainly am.
All right, Michael, what's his question?
All right, James, in the movie Coffee and Cigarettes, members of which rap group were in a scene with Bill Murray?
Can I answer?
Or... No.
Oh, damn.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
That's the wrong answer.
The question was...
In the movie Coffee and Cigarettes, Bill Murray shared the screen with members of which rap group?
I'm sorry, James, that is incorrect.
The correct answer was the Wu-Tang Clan.
The Wu-Tang Clan, James.
That was going
to
be my second choice.
All right, well, James, you failed that question, but I'm going to give you a follow-up chance for one movie pick. Are you ready?
Ryan really doesn't want me to pick.
I am ready.
The question is your refrigerator running?
You're really bad at hanging up on him.
I thought you were going to hang up on him right after you said the first question is, and then just hang up right there.
I was giving him an honest chance to win a movie pick.
I didn't even do the, well, you better go catch it part.
He just posted that on his Facebook
today. That's the new prank. Is your refrigerator running?
Hang up. Hello, everyone, and welcome to From Under a Rock, the podcast where we take turns picking a movie that one other person or more in our group has not seen, taking them out from under the proverbial rock.
Rock.
But first, Michael, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been on an exercise and dieting kick that culminated in a bowl of Lucky Charms and In-N-Out today because it's a lot easier to eat unhealthy than it is.
Gotta reward yourself.
Healthy. Yeah, yeah.
Did you only eat a bowl of Lucky Charms and In-N-Out?
Yeah,
that's not bad.
Yeah,
I mean it's not healthy.
It's not healthy, but good. Like in terms of calorie count,
yeah.
It almost even.
It could be worth. So for my exercise for the day, me and my roommate Trey went to the park in Burbank with a basketball. We went to the basketball court and we were just going to play some one-on-one until some punk ass, probably like 12 to 14 year old kid comes up and challenges us to a game of 21, which for all you non-athletes out there is a, it's a form of basketball in which three people can play at once. You play up to 21 and the kid was horrible at explaining the rules. I was like, I'm just going to try and make baskets and I'll let you tell me what my score is.
Like if you go over 21, you lose or something like that?
No, that's blackjack.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is basketball.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I get those confused a lot.
They're very similar. This kid gave me such little hope for the state of our youth. He was, incredibly homophobic. Like every shot that I was taking and Trey was, he would yell, penis or you're gay, that's gay. Or titties to try and distract us. And it wasn't working.
You were like, where?
this kid talks so much shit. And to the point where I was like, look, dude, I'm gay. You need to quit with that language. It doesn't make a difference and all that. Just trying to walk a mile in some fabulous shoes. And and that brought it out of him even worse. Like he was dropping like, you know, F-bombs, not the traditional F-bomb, but the homophobic F-bomb. He like got worse with it and it made me like, it's tough to be a gay person in a place where it's just commonplace to, I guess, hate that for whatever reason. I wasn't trying to do it in a mocking way. I was trying to do it just, I'm just a person here playing basketball who happens to be gay. I'm not gay, but
you're trying to like show him that like it could be anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not a stereotype.
Yeah, yeah. And he just got incredibly hateful and nasty. And so I punched him in the face.
Did you really?
No, I wanted to. I asked him, have you ever been this close before? He was like, to what? A gay person? I was like, no, to being punched in the face. And he backed off.
Nice.
And he was talking so much crap. And like at one point in the game, he's like, I don't know what's going on. I never lose this much. The final score was Trey won. He had 21. I had 16 and this kid had 8. So I, who suck at basketball, doubled his score, which is very satisfying for being a gay man.
You know, this kid sounds kind of familiar. He kind of reminds me of me playing Street Fighter. A little bit.
Do you get very homophobic?
No, he doesn't.
No, I don't.
Is there a place for gays in Street Fighter?
No, not on my watch. No, but as of this recording, Ultra Street Fighter 4 just came out yesterday.
I'm sorry, what number is it?
Four. Street Fighter 4.
There it is.
I'm sorry. And I spent a good 12 straight hours playing it yesterday.
I'd like to chime in that for the past 48 hours, Ryan and I have opposite schedules. Every time I've walked into the living room, going to work, coming back from work, going to sleep or whatever, he's been playing Street Fighter for the past 2 days.
Nice.
But my efforts have paid off because as of this morning, I was the number 6 ranked Sea Viper player on Xbox Live.
That's actually really impressive.
Number 6.
Nice.
I was thinking on the way home.
It's definitely not going to stay there, but.
I was like, why can't he just wait till the weekend? And I was like, no, he probably, if he wants to get way up there in the score, you probably have to hop on it right away.
My biggest leaderboard achievement of all time was back when I was like really into Rock Band and Guitar Hero and all that. I was regularly around like was between 3 and 7 for drums on Rock Band 1. And then Guitar Hero World Tour came out, and I jumped on it, played every song, set high scores. I was number 1 for the first 18 months, and I only played for 4 months.
Wow.
So I set scores in 4 months.
Untouchable scores. Took. Wow.
Yeah. And they weren't even 100%. So I just think at that point, the rhythm game genre was kind of moving out, and people weren't playing it as much. But
who remembers the trend of seeing Dragon Force Guitar Hero playthroughs on the front page of YouTube?
Oh, I was right in the thick of that stuff back then, man. Yeah. That was...
Well, I have not been playing video games. I did buy a Super Nintendo, though. I'm looking forward to playing that once I get my TV back from the repair shop.
Yep.
But I had some free time while I was animating here the other day, which is an oxymoron. But I caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I don't think anyone else here has been watching, but I love the Marvel Universe. And
I watched the pilot, and it really didn't do it for me. Yeah, I was so disappointed.
I get that. It really picks up essentially when Thor and Captain America came out, the episodes around then, because then it really starts to intertwine with movie universe. I mean, they're all in the same universe, and they start to affect each other more, and I don't want to get spoilery, but some major elements from the movies make their way into the show, major elements and people, and actually Captain America and this show happen side by side, essentially. Hmm. And the finale, like the last 5 episodes, are dealing with what's happening in Captain America.
Which, by the way, Captain America 2, amazing.
Yeah.
It was really good, yeah.
It might be my second favorite Marvel movie.
I think it's pretty much tied with Avengers for me.
It's way up there. It's amazing. But yeah, I've caught up on that. And I was just really surprised with what they did. And just like even some small details, like, you know, they hand someone a weapon and you remember where that weapon's from, and it's like actually this major point from the movies, the weapon that they're using. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, if that ever comes to Netflix or Amazon, I'll definitely speed through that a little more.
Yeah.
Did
you know we have on demand on cable? Like, we have way more episodes of just about every show than is on Hulu. Like, I was like, oh wow, I can watch like entire seasons of things.
Steven, can you do me a favor? You sound a little dehydrated.
I'm gonna drink some water.
Okay. I just want to let everyone know this podcast is now sponsored by Hydration, and it's something I take very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a message from our sponsor, Hydration?
I do. Drink water. It's good for you.
That's stupid.
And you know what's better about that advertisement than the ones we've had in the past?
I don't think you should call our advertisers stupid,
yeah,
Steven.
Yeah, Steven, we don't want to lose the sponsorship. Hydration, that's a big
It's been so long since we've had one.
I know. And for once, their advertisement is short and sweet. Mm-hmm. Drink water. It's good for you. That's it.
Basic stuff.
It's basic stuff. Yeah.
It's no got milk, I'll tell you that.
It's... Steven.
I mean, which is more important? Milk isn't going to hydrate you. I mean, it might a little bit. It probably will.
Actually. It actually will.
Yeah, it will.
Exactly.
We should aim for the milk account.
Here Speaking to announce that we are formally dropping
Hydration
as our sponsor.
We're sending the check right back to you.
That's a stupid move, but hey.
I just want to say, I meant to say this last week real quick too, but what I have been watching is Hannibal.
Ah.
Have you guys seen that at all?
It's another one I haven't seen, I've heard good things.
Yeah, I saw like the first half of a season or a season. How far is it? Do they do half seasons?
They're through 2 seasons now.
Okay.
What, 13-episode season?
13.
I saw most of the first season. I didn't catch the second one. But I heard some great things.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. It's probably my favorite show that's on right now. And that includes like Mad Men and Game of Thrones and stuff.
Says the guy who's not regularly watching Fargo.
I saw the pilot of Fargo. I wasn't blown
it's
away.
The best pilot of all time.
No, Lost is the best pilot of all time.
I'm not.
No,
even,
they had the worst pilot. They had the worst
you.
Pilot. They crashed. That plane crashed. I couldn't resist.
Steven
that
gets
joke.
The joke.
That was actually pretty decent.
Really, I thought that was bad. That was too obvious.
I liked it. I actually liked.
I thought it was bad because it's not really the pilot's fault. Does the pilot live? Does he die in the crash?
He dies from by the monster.
Okay.
After the crash.
There's a monster.
Yeah.
Is the monster in the pilot?
Have you not seen Lost?
Not much.
Yeah.
I've seen
monster is in the pilot.
I've seen about like 6 episodes.
Oh.
Wait, the monster is in the pilot?
I've said too much. Spoiler alert. No, but Hannibal was totally marketed to me completely wrong. I think so, at least. It just looked... They made it look like a cheesy, I'm going to say, NBC show.
Yeah.
Like Grimm or something like that. But, you know, when I saw that it was Brian Fuller doing it, who did Pushing Daisies, which I also love very much, that gave me some more confidence enough to check it out. And, yeah, it's really beautiful and intense and well done. So I would recommend it. It's on Amazon Prime. Season one is. I would check it out.
I may consider that.
What was also on Amazon Prime was Coffee and Cigarettes, which I was very pleased to find
out. You can find those at a convenience store.
But, I mean, you can have them ship coffee and cigarettes to you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go out to a store and get coffee and cigarettes. I want them sent shipped to my door. I couldn't decide which of those words to use.
I thought that was just the sound it makes when the package shipped. Drops off
ever,
of the...
Ever the word Smith.
Oh, we don't have James.
James isn't here to help me out.
McDoodles.
It's really not... It's not a good start. But, so you guys watch this movie on my recommendation, I'm hoping.
I just smoked a bunch of cigarettes. Okay. I don't get what the deal was. I think I have cancer.
I hope James watched it too, even though he's not here. Because I think it's definitely an interesting movie well worth seeing. But yeah, tell me what you guys thought right off the bat.
I'll go first. This is the first time I'd seen it the whole way through. I'd watched it once almost 2 years ago now. Wow, that's crazy. When I first moved up here, our roommate, Saman, had showed it to us a couple portions of it. And I guess what's important to know about this movie is it's kind of a series of, how many would you say, like eight vignettes, like eight just kind of conversations between celebrities or characters. Some of them were just straight up celebrities playing themselves. Others, you'll know better, Ryan, seemed like just like characters.
Some were celebrities playing
like
alternate versions of themselves.
Yeah, like, you know, Steve Buscemi is playing a waiter, but Bill Murray plays himself.
Mm-hmm. As a waiter.
But it's Bill Murray, the waiter.
But then Kate Blanchett is playing herself and her cousin.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just different conversations based off of these different kind of... It seemed like a lot of common... Some of them were common, like, things you hear around Hollywood. Stereotypical feelings about... Hey, let's do lunch, and then, you know, what comes up in those conversations. And I don't know, it was just really interesting. It was relaxing to me, actually. I enjoyed it for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I immensely disliked it.
Okay. Tell me why.
I've always been a plot guy. And in a movie that is just dialogue-based, just kind of sitting there, just hearing two characters shoot the shit, it's not my cup of tea.
Coffee.
Mm-mm. You missed opportunity right there.
Although some of them
I
do have tea.
I actually knew the opportunity. It was like, I'm just going to say tea. I mean, I enjoyed some of the conversations, but as I just felt like I was watching a YouTube playlist.
Yeah, it does. It very does feel like, well, what I kind of thought, if I just watched one of these a night, it wouldn't impact my overall experience. Yeah. Where, you know, if you cut a normal movie into segments like that, it's gonna detract from the experience. But
there were two vignettes that I really enjoyed.
Okay, I can probably guess what those are.
Okay,
Somewhere in California.
I don't remember them by name. Okay,
Delirium is the one with Bill Murray.
Yes,
and Cousins.
Yeah,
which one's? Is that
Alfred Molina and Steve Coogan?
Okay, those are my two favorites.
Yeah, I think those are my two favorites as well. And it's definitely what sticks out in my mind. But
the only one I loved, I mean, I didn't even really love it, but I really enjoyed Cousins. I liked the Steve Coogan kind of being a little bit too big for Molina the entire time, and then the way it switches at the end.
Yeah, I love that.
Seeing him kind of get humbled.
Like that one, that conversation actually kind of has a plot to it. I mean, all of them do, but that one very strong.
And that's why I liked it. And then Delirium, I liked because it's Bill Murray and the Wu-Tang Clan. That one's more bias, more so than the content.
Well, also that one like defies some expectations. You wouldn't expect a member of the Wu-Tang Clan to be a homeopathic doctor. Mm-hmm. Or alternative medicine doctor, and Bill Murray to be a Well, actually, I kind of would expect to hear see Bill Murray as a waiter in a restaurant. I mean, he does that. He goes like in Austin. He'll go to Austin and just start serving drinks.
You know, I'm not even 100% sure that he was a waiter at that restaurant. He could have just dressed up and grabbed a coffee pot and
just started drinking out of the coffee pot.
One of my favorite, I guess it's a meme. It's more like one of those like e-greeting cards you see. It's just a picture of Bill Murray, and it says, Bill Murray came up to me at a Wendy's, took a fry off my plate, and looked me dead in the eyes and said, no one's going to believe you.
Mm-hmm. There's so many of those.
And there's so many Bill Murray stories like that.
Yeah, or like he runs into an elevator and like gives you a wedgie and runs out saying, no one's going to believe you.
You know what you said earlier, Michael, about this feeling like a YouTube playlist, and Steven added that you could watch any of them individually.
I want to talk about the order
a little bit. I think it's very important,
yeah,
the order that these are in. But this was originally the first short called Strange to Meet You.
The one
you.
With Steve Wright?
Yes.
Didn't like that one at all.
That was a short film that Jim Jarmusch made in 1986.
And it won an award, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that
I don't
was
understand it.
That was followed.
What happens in that one? And that I don't.
It's the one where the guy goes to the dentist for the other guy. He says, "Oh, I got to go. I have to go to the dentist." And the other guy says, "I'll go for you." And
oh, okay. Yeah.
And then that was followed 7 years later by Somewhere in California.
And that's the one with Steve Buscemi,
Iggy Pop, and Tom Waits.
Oh. Twins is the
well
one.
in the movie.
No, I'm saying.
When they were made.
In 1993, he made another short film follow-up called Somewhere in California.
Okay.
It was called Coffee and Cigarettes, Somewhere in California. So this project just started out as two short films and grew into a segmented feature-length movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, seems like a pretty easy-going way to make a movie. Just mm-hmm. get some celebrities that I assume you're friends with, film a quick... Just sit down at a table, film a quick scene.
One thing I'll say about it is that I didn't. There wasn't anyone that they cast, at least of the ones that I knew, that like all the people that I knew in this movie, I actively like, which mm-hmm. I thought was interesting. But I mean, just the movie itself didn't resonate with me. A lot of the scenes were just kind of mm-hmm. there to me. I enjoyed seeing Jack White have a Tesla coil.
Yeah.
Just because saying that sentence out loud is kind of funny.
Jack shows Meg his Tesla coil. It's just It's just a funny title that turned into, you know, an interesting little scene, basically.
Yeah. And everybody knows more about Tesla coils than him by the end of it. Like, I think it's your grounding wire. Oh, I think it's my grounding
wire. The waiter at the coffee shop and Meg.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that one, actually, is that... it buys into the universe that Jack and Meg are actually brother and sister, where Jack is talking to Meg and he says, remember when we were little kids and you had Barbie dolls or something like that? Mm. And, of course that's not true at all.
They're exes, husband and wife.
Ex marriage.
Were they exes at the time?
Yeah.
Oh,
they've actually been exes since I think they started the White Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
And then, they recently disbanded, which is kind of sad, but oh well.
Yeah, all these vignettes are going, Ryan.
It wasn't important. Go ahead.
All these vignettes, I like them just because it's the same. On one hand, it's the same setting, and it's just kind of this window into like how quirky human interaction can be. Because, I mean, you think, okay, well, what can happen over coffee and cigarettes? And apparently, a lot of different conversations, a lot of different dynamic plays is. Really fun to watch all the things that happen. Another meeting I liked was between the two old guys in the deli, and then they're one of them's grandson who doesn't talk, and one of them talks like this because he's probably smoked way too many cigarettes. Why are you doing that? You're gonna kill yourself. Well, what about you? You're drinking all that coffee. That's not good for you. I like a whole pot. It was just kind of cool to see that. But then on the other hand, I felt. They kind of hit the same nail on the head a couple too many times with like, hey, do you want some coffee and cigarettes? Oh, coffee and cigarettes. What a combination. That seemed like Iggy Pop says that, mm-hmm. right? And what a combination. And then, oh, coffee and cigarettes, that'll kill you. Where I didn't like those bits as much. I liked the other ones where the scene just kind of played out and they had their coffee, they had their cigarettes. It, you know, it wasn't crucial. It felt like it was trying to force me into remembering I'm watching the movie. Coffee and cigarettes.
One thing I thought was interesting is I felt that the scene with Iggy Pop and Tom Waits is it Alfred Molina or Albert?
Alfred.
he
calls him Albert in the
does he?
Short, and he says, no, it's Albert.
Oh, to me, it seems like the foundation for the scene with Steve Coogan and Alfred Molina. Like, kind of the whole time, like, Tom Waits kind of seems like he's bigger than Iggy Pop in, like, his attitude. At least that's kind of
how I
saw
that
scene.
Yeah.
And so it seemed like an evolution of how it could play out later. I kind of saw
there was some connection.
Parallel between them.
So that's what I wanted to talk about. While these, there are 11 segments, actually, and while they don't really have one overarching plot, there are continuous themes throughout and specific lines that are reiterated. But I'm actually looking at the order of the shorts right now, and there's actually a really interesting sort of symmetry to it. And so the Iggy Pop Tom Waits one is the third one, and then the one with
the Coogan,
Alfred Molina and Steve Coogan is third from last. So there's
a little bit of symmetry. Yeah,
exactly. And the one right in the middle is Jack shows Meg his Tesla coil, and on either side of that there's Cousins with Cate Blanchett, and then Cousins with Alfred Molina, Steve Coogan.
Oh, is that they're both one's cousins and the ones?
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Cousins with a question mark.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't catch that.
Delirium is second to last. There might not be 11 here. It said 11. Delirium is second to last, and it has two musicians. One of them's talking about how he's a doctor.
Huh.
One of them's talking about how he's a doctor. And then the second one is
twins.
Somewhere in California. Where Tom Waits is talking about how he was a doctor.
Third one.
It says second one on this list that I'm looking at.
Steve Buscemi was the second one.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Third one. Okay, not quite symmetrical then, but pretty close.
Yeah, it's a thoughtful pattern now that you point that out. And I was picking up, I didn't pick on the specificity of that pattern, but I was picking up on those like common threads going through there. Which was really cool. Like in Champagne, the last one, I forget what someone says. Did someone mention something about a Tesla coil?
Yeah. He says something about the Earth's magnetic field.
Yeah.
It's the same line that Meg says at the end of that segment.
I just thought that was kind of cool. Like, I mean, think these all take place in the same
characters,
world or universe.
The characters say those things will kill you at least... three or four different segments throughout besides the one that's called that. So while there's, you know, it's lacking the plot that Michael craves, there's definitely some carryover in terms of theme and structure, which I think are really interesting. Very alternative storytelling style. I enjoy the way that it was shot too. It's very simple. It's a black and white film, which is obviously, you know, it was released in 2003, but I'm sure he shot the original one in 1986 on like a little cheap
16 millimeter.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Bolex.
So he decided to keep that black and white style for the rest of the segments throughout.
Which I kind of liked.
I thought...
it made it easier to pay attention to what they were saying, actually.
It's really simple, but... I thought they did a really nice job of set design as well, making each coffee shop or location feel unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can tell just from a single screenshot which segment you're looking at any given time, which I think is cool.
I did like the set design of the one with Cate Blanchett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the hotel room. Yeah.
And what was interesting about it is while I was watching it, I said to myself, kind of toward the end, I was like, neither of them has smoked a cigarette. And then right then, Cate Blanchett's cousin pulls out a cigarette and they're like, you can't smoke in here. Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny. And the setting kind of reflected a place that you can't smoke.
It was actually then a little disappointing in the cousins one when they're just drinking tea.
Yeah.
They're not drinking coffee at all.
Yeah, when they were drinking more tea and they kept saying tea, I was like, you don't belong here, get out.
It's like, okay, when's the coffee gonna come into play? But it was a little disappointing.
It was like a cop out, like, yes, tea has caffeine usually, but come on,
But I mean, at the same time, they're British, and
yeah,
it's more realistic. Coffee is a very American thing compared to, like, it's the equivalent of tea for Britain.
That's so true.
Real tea.
You know what? Now that you've said that, I would love to see a sequel of this movie where it's coffee and coffee and cigarettes, but like the equivalent of coffee, the conversations you would have around the equivalent of coffee and cigarettes in different countries around the world.
So Ethiopia is nothing and nothing.
Just two people talking. That's horrible. No, but I would see that just because, you know, like in Colombia or Mexico, you drink your coffee one way, or
water and sadness.
Oh,
lack of water and sadness. I'm kidding. We don't have a lack of water because we're sponsored by hydration.
No, we're not.
Why aren't we sponsored by coffee?
Milk. Got it? we don't actually have their sponsorship yet. So
we have to do a knockoff slogan.
But for example, milk, you could have your ad right here where I said milk, got it. And you could have got milk.
You were a lot more like aggressive with it, though. Like, it's milk. Got it?
Well, if you want me to back off. No. I'm not going to back off. I'm very passionate about milk and making sure that people get the calcium and vitamins they need.
Guys, you can develop osteopenia, and if that gets even worse, you can get osteoporosis.
Guys, I really want to make this international coffee and cigarettes idea now. I really do. Look, I wonder how easy it was to make this movie, actually. Just because, like I said,
I don't think it's very easy to get the Wu-Tang Clan and Bill Murray in a room. I don't think it's very easy to just be like, hey, White Stripes, you want to be in a scene? It seems...
I'm talking about...
It seems like you couldn't do it.
Me? Oh, me?
Yeah.
No, I couldn't. I could never. I'm talking about, like, on a I guess, segment-by-segment basis. It must have been very easy going. Sure, as a whole, you had to worry about getting all these people, but if you can't get them this month, you can probably get them, you know, why not? Let's wait another month. No, nothing else is depending on it unless he has a set release date, which I don't. I mean, Ryan, do you know the history of the movie? Did it?
I don't actually. Okay. Sorry. But as I was watching it this time, what occurred to me is that this was sort of the anti movie 43.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. This is like the good way to get a bunch of celebrities.
I didn't see it either. But movie 43
was it anthology?
Widely panned anthology movie. Full of celebrities who were basically conned into filming this movie. It's like the directors were all just
pulling favors,
favors wherever they could, and making it so that these actors couldn't back out of this terrible movie.
Yeah, it started with Hugh Jackman. Like Hugh Jackman owed the producer or director a favor, and then from him he got Kate Winslet because Hugh Jackman's I'll go in this, then just started pulling favors, and then, you know, he'll go to someone else and be like, you're too busy to shoot, well, why don't we just shoot at your house, it'll be, you won't even have to leave.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was a horrible
so horrible the movie. Actors in movie 43 you can pretty much count on to be good people because none of them were, they were all too polite to just say no.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But like nobody did the press circuit for it.
So yeah, I agree that Cousins and
Delirium
were the two best. Probably my least favorite would have been No Problem.
Which one was that?
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't even didn't even remember it.
Was that with the two French speaking?
Yes.
Okay.
Which
the guy with the dice,
which literally has like even less of a plot than any of the other ones.
Yeah,
I zoned out in that one.
Mm-hmm.
I was honestly, but when they started the scene, I was like, great, this movie is pretentious enough to give us an entire scene in French, and then they didn't, and I'm very happy about that.
I don't know, I thought that would have been cool. Yeah, Michael, I want to hear more about what you didn't like about it, though.
Just, I mean,
where was Godzilla?
Yeah. I mean, discussing it is helping tie some things together. You know, obviously you're coming from a place of you picked it, you like it, you have reasons for liking it. But I mean,
you can hurt me if you want. Go for it.
No, you're pointing out things that I missed or didn't care to pick up on, and it's making me think the movie's a little better. But even still, I mean, I like things that kind of tell one cohesive story. I'm not big on the anthology style being released as a movie. You know, I'm fine with it being like a TV series or a web series or something like that. Yeah. But as a movie, it doesn't work for me. Just based on what my expectations of a movie are, which, you know, I'm not one who's closed-minded enough to say that movies are one thing and, you know, they can't be experimental in certain ways. But, you know, I expect a plot. I expect a world to be created to where there's kind of correlation between all the characters beyond common themes, beyond common lines of dialogue being spoken. So, I mean, the lack of a plot throughout the whole thing hurt it for me. The lack of characters that you really get to sit with and, you know, see a full arc. It's the reason I liked Cousins, was because it kind of had that in it, in its own little microcosm. But most of them didn't. Most of them were just kind of a snapshot at a moment in time, and just you see a conversation of how this character is right now with without growth. So,
two things. What was that movie with Tom Hanks?
Castaway.
The Terminal.
Yeah. No, like 2 years ago, where like one.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, from 2 years ago.
Philadelphia.
Yeah. No, the one that we were
Toy Story.
Yeah.
Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3.
All those movies.
Okay.
No, the one, it was like him and
Zoe Saldana?
Zoe Saldana.
Avatar.
No.
Well, Zoe Saldana was in The Terminal, so.
Oh. Maybe it wasn't
Zoe. But she wasn't.
It was the one character. Where it's like future and then it's also the past.
Oh,
like
Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
No.
Did you? Oh, okay. I was wondering if you had similar. I hadn't seen it, but it seems like, you know, there's two kind of different things going on.
There's like five different things.
Five different things.
On.
So maybe.
But they all have plots.
Okay.
That move forward. So.
So they're bigger. I don't know. I'm just wondering if Michael. I'm just trying to peg like your movie preferences. Second thing. I wonder what the trailer for this would look like. Just. Hey, Michael.
Hey guys, we have Bill Murray.
Gargle this. Do not swallow. Gargle.
Do not swallow Bill Murray. Do not swallow Bill Murray. I was watching it with Saman and
Wait.
He was quoting along yeah. with it the
don't,
entire time.
Don't swallow Bill Murray.
Don't swallow Bill Murray.
If you're eating Bill Murray, spit him out.
We need him for more movies. We need him for more memes.
That's why there was no Godzilla.
Because we need Because
we didn't
Murray.
Want to swallow Bill Murray.
Any more thoughts or time to rate?
I think it's time to rate.
All right. I'll go first. I do enjoy the anthology structure when it's done well, and I enjoy the premise, even though it is simple, of this one, which is just snapshots in time and interesting, somewhat believable yet also slightly far-fetched conversations in a lot of cases. Characters that are built upon very naturally, often without them saying anything, just simple actions. I'm going to give it a B+.
I'll go next. It's kind of hard to rate a movie like this because it's different from most of the movies we've done. It's obviously the first of its kind for our podcast. Some segments were great, some weren't. But I think you kind of need those waves of good and bad and good and bad, or else the movie becomes monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give this film a B.
Okay. I also forgot to mention, I didn't like the last one.
The Old Man.
Yeah.
I liked that one.
It felt like an ending to me.
Yeah,
exactly. Did the guy die or did he just go to sleep?
Don't know.
I like that.
As much of an ending as you can have for a movie like this, I thought it was.
I thought the ending fitting. Worked because it's a movie about life, and what better way to end life with two extremely old guys reminiscing?
I don't know. I didn't like their conversation.
Anyway,
the guy seemed whatever. Yeah. Movie didn't do it for me. I had one rating when I came in here. Discussing it has raised it slightly. But I'm still going to give it a D+.
Wow. Okay.
That might be the biggest discrepancy we've had.
It probably is, yeah. I'm happy, though. I don't want to just pick only movies that everybody loves.
You know, yeah. You know? It was like back in our VGHL days. Stop giving every game a 9.
But then you give one Zelda game a 7.5 and everyone jumps all over
was
you.
That
was
you?
It Skyward Sword?
I know you're listening, Smiles.
Yeah, I just remembered all that, yeah.
Was it Skyward Sword?
Yes.
Still haven't finished it.
I think the first game review I did on that show was like a 6.4.
Wow. Bold.
And it was a Dragon Ball Z game.
Was it an N64 game?
I wish. I see what you did. What's the score?
He's not that old. Yeah, what's our final score?
Our final score is the lowest possible B minus, an 80.
Okay. That'll work.
Okay, sweet.
So.
That's the movie.
That's it. That's going to do it. And we already know that Steven's winner, but...
are we going to do the formality
of
the challenge?
We're going to go ahead and do a challenge.
Challenge!
Challenge!
This is a lot less enticing without James here. He challenge. Really brings the energy to this challenge part.
Sex.
No,
sex.
You have to take that out because that's
okay.
James's part.
I like that better. Does he say challenge having sex?
Yeah, and we have a little soundbite that plays now.
I haven't listened to our podcast okay. since about episode 6.
Oh, I listened to each one like probably twice.
Wait, we have sound bites?
Yeah. Or just the one.
Do we have the budget for that?
I liked the little guitar riff you had going on in the last one that wasn't the main theme.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, we should bring that back when the occasion fits.
We have guitars?
That interview...
It was for the... next time on From Under a Rock.
Yeah, it just... Oh, put away the gun.
Nice.
It was really good.
What's our challenge?
The challenge for this week. So the first time I saw this movie, I immediately went out. It was midnight, but I had to go out and get myself some coffee and cigarettes. I have to say, I do not drink much coffee, nor do I smoke cigarettes. But the movie made them look enticing and...
You're very impressionable.
I was with some friends, you know. And
good thing I'm not going to pick the movie.
Yes. Yes. What's the joke? Find the joke. Find the joke.
Eating your own boogers and suicide.
Okay.
A very depressing series of vignettes. First gross, then depressing.
Okay, but so the challenge this week is to tell me your dream combination, and let's refrain from the peanut butter chocolate thing.
What if I already just did?
are you talking about like kind of like personal, don't do peanut butter and jelly, don't do peanut butter, like something?
Or no, just to you personally, what two things do you think go better together?
Oh, man, this is something I'd like to ponder.
Do they have to be together, or can they be like one right after the other?
I can't imagine what you're saying, but sure, that's fine.
Okay. Being fed ribs in bed and sex.
Wow.
See, for that, I would kind of hope you have both of those going at the same time.
Well, I mean, of course, like the foreplay and the eating ribs cross over, but by the time you're like into full on like penetration, you don't
want ribs.
You'll cramp up.
I don't know.
You'll cramp up.
I don't think I will.
Unless you're
in amazing shape. You just got to stay hydrated.
No, I do. Trust me. I stay very hydrated when I'm having
Yeah, ribs. Isn't that cramps? Just like acid leaking into your system from lack of hydration?
It's the ribs.
Okay.
They're rib cramps. Because I feel them right here.
Why is this your ideal combination?
One, because I am Texas to the bone. Mm-hmm. So ribs. Got it. Barbecue Whoop. Had to be in my answer. And have you guys had sex before? It's pretty good.
It goes with everything.
I give it a 9
okay,
out
but
of 10.
Does one enhance the other, though? That's kind of what I'm
Absolutely.
Looking for. Why? How?
Because they're... First of all, I mean, all right. The type of sex you're having is obviously a factor. You don't have ribs in bed and then have, like, sensual, like, gentle sex. You're eating meat, you're going to be an animal. You're going for carnivore sex. Like, your partner thinks you may devour them as well. Because your appetite is now so voracious that you're going for it.
Okay.
And so the animal instinct that eating, just ribs brings out of me. They may not even be cooked. They may just be raw pig ribs. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably won't. Actually, yeah, they're going to be cooked.
They're going to be cooked.
I'm Texan.
Yeah, duh, they're going to be cooked.
Got to barbecue it. Come on. Yeah.
And slather it in sauce.
Slather it in sauce.
Sugary, ketchupy sauce.
Yeah. And then there's the part that leaks over into your foreplay. You slather your partner up in sauce. Ooh. You have, take turns licking it off of each other.
That's yeah. why.
I don't know if I'm into that.
They have it done to you.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
I'll come back and let you know.
Okay.
On, next let's time pause on Foire. Hold on.
We're going to pause the podcast for however long it takes. Ryan, go out, do this
4
thing.
Minutes.
Ribs take a long time to cook, Ryan.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
Good ribs.
Maybe we'll come back next week.
Okay. So yeah, that's my dream combination.
Michael, I'm going to give you 9 points for that.
Nice.
It's going to be hard to top that. I'm going between two. I have to pick, honestly. You picked a really funny. Oh, maybe
you,
honest.
You don't have to pick two because they go together.
Together. I have two like different scenarios. I'm assuming that it's implied this combination is meant to be shared with people because in the movie, the coffee and cigarettes are shared between
I would like to point out that mine
not
is
necessarily,
too.
Not necessarily. I think the social aspect that goes with coffee and cigarettes is, of course, a benefiting factor. But your thing might not need that.
Okay. You know? I'm going to pick something that has that social
okay.
Factor to it. And it's
I just really wanted to say heroin and LSD.
Dang it. Michael took my... No. I'm going to go with campfire s'mores. Like a campfire and s'mores. And that it's implied that you've got a group of friends because that's why I asked about the social.
That is the loneliest thing to do alone.
Well, just me. I can't do a cricket sound. Nope, not going to try. But
are you purring?
It's just me and my cat.
and the cat s'mores. Gets up and walks away.
Come back.
He eats chocolate and dies.
Oh, not again. I keep feeding her s'mores. No, it's hard to beat that. Just get... A group of that's one of the things I miss about Texas is in high school. Like I used to get like my best buds and we'd go up to our ranch, set up a campfire, and just roast s'mores and talk for like 3-4 hours, you know. And just it's kind of reminded me of this movie. It's like we're just sitting there talking, but we're having a blast.
Empty carbs, empty calories, ribs, protein.
This is true. Chocolate has antioxidants, though.
Okay. I will say, it's a good pick. I guess I didn't make myself quite clear, though, where coffee and cigarettes can exist by themselves and still be enjoyable to people. I don't think s'mores have ever been eaten without a campfire present.
I bought not pre-made true. S'mores. There's pre-made s'mores.
If so, if they were, then it would probably be sadder than
oh, no,
being
yeah.
at a campfire.
I actually microwave my marshmallows because it's a lot easier to control than trying to roast a marshmallow.
For
so
me, the roast.
I make microwavable yeah. s'mores.
I like
time.
Roasting them because it's an art. I don't like to burn them. I don't like them usually where they just crisp up like into a black charcoal.
Yeah.
I like them golden brown, and okay. that's part of the you have to be patient. And while you're patient, you're just chatting with your friends, keeping an eye on mm-hmm, marshmallow, mm-hmm. and you're like, all right, that's good, okay.
Yeah.
And when you mess up, everybody has a good laugh. And you throw boiling hot marshmallow.
I don't think people laugh that hard at a messed up marshmallow.
Well, they laugh because I throw the boiling hot marshmallow into my friend's face. And I'm like, ah, I gotcha.
Friends.
Oh, guys.
You're a bad friend.
And this is what led to me, like, as an old man, roasting marshmallows alone by a campfire.
With your cat.
Yeah, I threw marshmallows at too many friends and they all left.
Steven, I'm going to give you 12 points. It's a great combination. Great combination.
Nice. I wasn't expecting to come out on top on that.
James, I'm going to give you 900 points.
Oh, James. For his winning.
Can we call him and get his pick?
No, I'm sorry.
Just ask him for two things. Don't even give
him
a premise.
You know what James' favorite combination is? Texas and not being here.
Ooh. Bad friend.
I miss Texas. I'd probably take that combo.
Now, Steven, you are a winner.
But first,
before we get to your pick, though, I just want to go over something real quick.
Okay.
I made a little chart here that displays the order of the winners from each cycle from Under a Rock so far.
I'm interested to see this.
So now that we have the 8th cycle, it's going to be Steven and then James to close it out. Here, I actually have to make some slight adjustments to factor in these picks. So talk among yourself.
Well, I know I've been first 7 times.
I tend to be towards the end of the cycles. I want to say once I might have been second, just because last time we talked about it and you had been third, and I kind of remember once
well, having no, it almost back to back.
I missed the Frozen podcast, which was week four of
a
cycle.
Right.
So I couldn't have been one number one. And then I didn't win number two either.
So this is because you called me out last week whenever I tried to give you a statistic and you just completely shot me down. Michael has been first 7 times. James has been first once. Steven and I have never been first.
Way to hog all the firsts.
Yes. Sorry. So this is
why I'm a good challenge player.
I feel like if we have to bias our picks from now on, I'm hoping that this will do the trick here.
We just have to, like, whenever we're just never give Michael points.
I'm the second place winner with 4. James has 3. Steven has 1. Michael has 0 second place wins. Third, Steven has 4. I have 2. James and Michael each have 1. And fourth, James and Steven each have 3, and I have 2. Michael has 0 fourths.
Okay, so I thought I was going to have like 5 fourth place wins, but it's a tie.
Just
for
3.
That's not bad. It's not bad at all.
So
now what I would be interested in to boost my own ego is to go through every episode and count how many challenges I won, but I had already picked that cycle, so I was ineligible to make the pick.
It might make you listen to the podcast, so I'm all for it. He's not going to do it. I can see it on his face.
Not even a little.
Steven, what's your pick for next week?
Well, I just have to think really hard about a great movie that I can watch with my friends for eternity.
Loyalty, honesty, will stick together through thick or thin. Friends forever will be together. We're on top because we play to win.
Do taekwondo, taekwondo. And then play that like 5 more times, and then that's the song at the beginning of the next movie. It's called Miami Connection. It is available on Netflix. You can get it on. A couple of us have it on DVD. I have it on videotape, but I imagine you guys are going to watch it on Netflix. Actually, I have. If you want to watch it with my copy of the videotape, I got a digital file.
I do
file.
Not.
I got a digital file.
You're talking to the wrong crowd here.
I got a digital okay. Nothing. I can say digital file like 5 more times. Digital file.
Is it a Blu-ray digital file?
It's 720p.
I only want to watch it if it's pirated.
I could like upload it to the internet and then download it right back down.
Yeah, I forget where I saw this, but I saw on somewhere on the internet, someone was complaining about, oh, I pirated this TV show, but then they cut out the credits. I want to appreciate the people that are making this show for me. It's like, what do you do?
But clearly you don't, because if you want to appreciate them, you'll pay for their product.
Exactly.
I don't want to appreciate them, so I love that the credits are cut out. And I would like to point out to our listeners, I am the one who has not seen Miami Connection.
Yes, the rest of us have.
James and Steven and I have.
And I'm really looking for. I've had the challenge in mind for months.
Ooh, okay.
So, nice. Yeah, check it out. It's on Netflix. It's if you have a friend who watch, it's best watch with groups. So if you can get some friends together to watch it, you're gonna have a good time.
Well, I'm gonna watch it in bed with some ribs.
Oh, okay.
Two great things go better together.
I really want to have a viewing party for this, just because it is so much better with friends.
Yeah, if we can work it out.
If our schedules work, we should watch it this weekend, and we'll watch it in HD. Mainly because my TV with my VCR, my good VCR, is in repair.
Good VHS player. No,
your
such
VHS
thing.
Player.
I hate you guys. You're both starting with -1 point.
No such thing. So Steven, I saw that we just had another Pokemon video.
We did
jump up onto the YouTube channel, which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah, I gotta promote it more so get it more views. Nice. But I'm proud of it. How to steal a Mewtwo. It's fun stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess to quickly talk about what's going on with Hyperdrive. I'm gonna scale back a bit just because when I got back into Hyperdrive after getting my cast off, I had underestimated how much
all
time
he talks about.
I underestimated how much time I'd be in physical therapy, so it's just I can't realistically do everything. So until I'm done with physical therapy, we're gonna scale back a bit. It'll be like a one video a week, maybe a hyper vlog, maybe a skit, just so I can manage stuff. I'm gonna do an announcement video for that later. But you're also hearing it right here. But we'll be back in full force once my hand is done with therapy.
All right.
James, how are you? Just okay. That's great.
Okay.
That's great.
Hey, is your refrigerator running? Hang up. Hang up. Hang up. Hang up. Hang up.
I can't figure out how. Stupid.
That's gonna do it for this week's episode. Let's go around the table for one last roll call.
I'm Steven Steuben, the Burb Suburban Zarita the Jerk.
I'm Coach Mike Bourbon.
And I'm Ryan Evans. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode.
Wait. Remember to hydrate.
Yes.
Of
From Under a Rock.
Milk. Got it.